This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We have a lot to get into in this 5 o'clock hour. Let's get into it. All right, let's start with wide receiver. That has been the biggest conversation this week. I don't have to tell you guys that that is the biggest need that the Kansas City Chiefs have. So Nate Taylor was on the morning show earlier today. He was asked about the position, and here is what he said about the Chiefs and their pursuit of adding another wide receiver.
Now you have a baseline of what to expect from, hey, if we make a trade, is it going to be a third-round pick? Is it going to be a fourth-round pick? Obviously, you're not going to go towards a second or a first-rounder. So the Chiefs can come back after this game against the 49ers and say, okay, we have another sort of sample size to assess our own receiving group. What receiver can help us sort of complement Travis Kelce and Juju Smith-Schuster? Is that a Deontay Johnson? Is that a Darius Slater? Those are some of the players that you could think about. If I have to say right now, I do think the Chiefs will make a trade for a receiver.
I believe at some point the Chiefs are going to make a trade for wide receiver. That continues to be strengthened over the course of the last couple of days, especially with the news of Juju Smith-Schuster today. If you are just getting off work and you're turning on your radio for the first time, thank you. And second, Juju Smith-Schuster was limited in practice today because of a hamstring injury. Now, that is all the information that I have. This is all the information that you have about it. But if we continue to take a look at the Chiefs depth chart, they are really starting to run out of bodies. They just don't have a lot of productive players in that wide receiver room. They also don't have a lot of healthy players in that room. Right now, if you are going by players who don't have an injury designation, so Juju right now is questionable. That's what he was. He was questionable. The wide receivers that are currently on their active 53-man roster who are healthy going into this game are Xavier Worthy, Justin Watson, Mecole Hardman, and Sky Moore. Now, I imagine that many of you are in the same place that I am with Sky Moore. He does not count to me. I do not want Patrick Mahomes throwing another pass to Sky Moore. It has never worked out for the Chiefs and them trying to incorporate Sky Moore in their offense. They are trying to make fetch happen. It is not happening for the Chiefs. At some point, you just need more bodies. Now, in the short term, can they call up Justin Ross? Sure. Can they call up Nico Remigio? Absolutely. But they are going to need a little bit more of a long-term solution. We will just see how much they are willing to spend. So I think that's hit number one. Juju Smith-Schuster is limited today in practice. What does that mean for Sunday? I think we'll find that out over the course of the next 36 hours or so. What does that mean for the Chiefs in their pursuit of trying to find a wide receiver? One wide receiver that I think is a pretty interesting option is DeAndre Hopkins. We asked Zach Bingham on the show yesterday, is he an option for any team in the league? Here's what Zach Bingham said.
I definitely think conversations will and should be had. Whether a deal gets done, I think that's the beauty of the NFL, and we'll navigate that over the next several weeks. And, you know, it's October 15th, and teams are wheeling and dealing. And you get the right wide receiver, then you can really do some damage. I think looking at what Amari Cooper and Devontae Adams got, I think the one thing that you have to take into account is DeAndre Hopkins sat out most of training camp with a torn MCL. He still has that, and he's not going to get surgery. So whatever team is going to trade for DeAndre Hopkins, he's not 100%. Now, he has tread on the tires, but he will not be 100%, and he's going to have to play through pain, which he's talked about this season. So I definitely think that will impact what is given for DeHop.
Now, on one side of the coin, DeAndre Hopkins is a player who I think makes some sense for Kansas City. He is at the end of a two-year contract, veteran player, plug and play in a lot of ways, and a guy who I still think has a little bit of good football left. On the other side of the coin, and this is me thinking out loud, are the Chiefs going to trade anything of value for a 32-year-old wide receiver with knee issues? Like, does that sound like something that the Chiefs would do? I mean, we've seen, at this point, a half decade of Brett Veach moves. We know what kind of players they like. We know the kind of players that they go for. Do we think that the Chiefs are going to trade anything for a 32-year-old tight end who is going to have to manage and play with pain from October to February? That doesn't seem like the direction that I think they are going to go. I don't mind going to get DeAndre Hopkins, especially if you're going to get him for cheap and you're going to be willing to renegotiate his deal and kind of make the math work. I don't have that much of a problem. But just trying to line myself in with how I think Brett Veach thinks and how he approaches this situation, I would be very, very surprised if they made that move. And it got me thinking earlier today, maybe we are not casting a wide enough net. It's not like the Chiefs are anti-trading in the middle of the season. They traded significant assets, at least from a Chiefs perspective, to go get Tony. They traded significant assets to go get Kadarius Tony. They traded a third-round pick, and they traded, what, a sixth-round pick, and they put that together to go get Kadarius Toney. So they have a track record of doing something like this in the middle of the season and that guy playing. So maybe, just maybe, they are considering a player that is not currently on our radar. When we think about it, there have only been three, four names of guys that have been thrown out as possibilities. Darius Slayton has been a possibility. DeMarcus Robinson has been a possibility. Deontay Johnson, and that's kind of it. D-Hop is in that category. You're telling me four wide receivers are all they're looking at? So maybe, just maybe, they're casting a little bit of a wider net, and we got to start to look at what team has a first or a second round pick. That guy is not working for their current team, and the Chiefs would be willing to make a little bit of a deal to go get that kind of player. Is that a guy that they would think about? Like, I think about a guy, and I don't think they're going to trade for him. Christian Watson, to me, is the kind of receiver that I think they could possibly be looking for. Again, I don't think that they're trading for Christian Watson, nor do I think that Green Bay is going to trade him. But that kind of wide receiver, Christian Watson is probably, what, Green Bay's third or fourth wide receiver on that team? Maybe he needs a new change of scenery. Maybe he needs a new environment. To me, that's the kind of player that maybe we got to open up to the possibility that Kansas City could trade for here over the course of the next two and a half weeks.
Isn't that player significantly more expensive? Like, we just saw Amari Cooper get traded for a third round pick. And I know it was a sixth round pick and there was a swap, but he got traded for a third round pick. Amari Cooper has, what, $800,000 of the cap space on his number? And what, however many games regular season, you know, 10, 11, 12, plus whatever postseason games, that made the Bills re-sign him. But if a third-round pick is worthy of a 30-year-old rental, what do you think the price is going to be on Christian Watson? Because I agree with you. It would not surprise me if the Chiefs are targeting a guy with multiple years left. It wouldn't surprise me if they're targeting someone on a rookie contract like they did Kadarius Toney. But I think now the price has been set, and you heard Nate Taylor say it. Hey, we now know the baseline. If the baseline is a third for a expiring contract, to use an NBA term, what do we think the price is going to be on a guy with multiple years left? Like, if that's the case, Christian Watson, just for the example, is worth a second or a late first. I don't know the Chiefs are going to be willing to part with that.
There's no chance Christian Watson's worth a first round pick.
I agree. But if Amari
think about
Cooper,
the wide receivers over the course of the last 2 years that have been traded for a first round pick.
I agree.
AJ Brown, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams. Christian Watson ain't none of them.
I agree.
Here, but I'll give you another name for somebody that nobody's being thrown out there. What if they traded for Alec Pierce?
Now, Alec Pierce is an interesting name, but he has been productive for Indianapolis.
He's been okay. I mean, so I'm looking at Alec Pierce right now. His first year, he had 593 yards. His second year, he had 514 yards. And this year, he has 368 yards. So he is in line to have his best season. He is heading into, so he's in the middle of year three. Next year is his final year under a contract. He was a second-round pick, so you would have a year and a half of club control. Now, I'm not saying that Alec Pierce is available, but I would guess that's the kind of receiver that they're looking for. That they're not looking for the Calvin Ridley. No, they're not trading a second-round pick and taking on Calvin Ridley's contract. I don't think they're trading for Christian Kirk and taking on his deal. If they're going to make a move, it's either going to be for somebody that they know and somebody that they're very familiar with, or it's going to be somebody that we're not talking about right now that is either a first or a second-round pick, and he has not worked in his current situation, and they think they can get the most out of him. They've made that move before. They've made it at wide receiver. They've made it at linebacker. They made it with Emmanuel Ogba. We know the kind of players that the Chiefs like. They're not going to get DeAndre Hopkins. They're going to get someone like Alec Pierce.
Alec Pierce, the name I like, and I agree with you conceptually, but I just wonder if the price will work out long-term. It may not long-term. If the price can work out for Veach. Because Kadarius Toney was a failed first-round pick. And the trade didn't work. We don't have to argue about the punt, blah, blah, blah. But when they made the Toney trade, they traded a comp pick at the very back of the third round to the Giants. And they also traded a sixth to the Giants, I believe. Maybe in a fifth. They traded a day two pick and a day three pick to the Giants for a multiple year control first round guy. That's what Amari Cooper's got traded for. So what do you think it costs now to get a Alec Pierce? What do you think it costs now to get I'm looking at names on the text line, a guy like George Pickens. I don't think that's ever going to happen, but Jalen Hyatt, those type of names. I think it's a second and a fourth. And the question then becomes, is Veach all in on this year and says screw it to the draft, or is he saying at the start of next season, the way my wide receiver room currently sits, I have one body, I have one person, I have one guy. I'm curious how Brett Veach views it, because it is both a chase for the three-peat, which is history, but his job will be beyond just the three-peat. He's going to have to be the GM next year, too. So I'm curious how he balances that, knowing what the price will likely cost, because the market has shown us what Amari Cooper costs.
Yeah, I guess you and I are just different on what we think the acquisition cost is going to be and what these guys are. I do not think there is going to be a wide receiver that is traded between now and the deadline that goes for more than what Amari Cooper just got. Amari Cooper is a guy who's had 1,000 yards in four of his last five seasons. He is 30 years old. He is very cost-like. That's a really, really good trade. That's not what Christian Watson is. That's not what Alec Pierce is. Just throwing out names there. That is not what Darius Slayton is. He is not a guy who has had 1,000-yard seasons in four of the last 5 years. Those are the guys that I think you could potentially get for cheap. So we'll see. I'll ask you this question and we'll move on from wide receiver, because I do want to talk about San Francisco. If and when the Chiefs make a trade, are they going to make a trade that stops the show and it tracks? Or do they make a trade that we make a note of, we talk for a little bit, and we move on? Which trade do you think we're going to make? Because, if they trade for Deontay Johnson, if they trade for Deontay Johnson at 2:30, that's all we're talking about the rest of the day. If they trade for DeMarcus Robinson, we are not talking about that for the remainder of the show. I don't have that many thoughts on DeMarcus Robinson.
Can I ask you a question about where this falls in? What does Slayton count as?
I would say more of the DeMarcus Robinson.
Then that's the move. Then no, it's not taking over the show. I think it is far more likely they're Robinson, Slayton than Johnson in the two orders. I think Johnson's more likely than some of the names people have kicked around, but I think it's a Slayton Robinson type followed by a Johnson type. So I don't think it stops the show. No.
Someone on the text line says, do you think Cincy would take a second round for T. Higgins? I don't think that T. Higgins is worth a second round pick anymore.
I also think the Bengals will do business with the Chiefs.
I 100% agree. I'm just saying, just even as a concept, T. Higgins is it's been a while since he's kind of been that guy. His numbers are drastically down from me. He was a guy, he's a guy who's averaging 14 yards a catch. He's at 10.4 now, and he hasn't really been healthy, it seems like, in a year and a half. T. Higgins is not worth a second-round pick anymore. T. Higgins is going to be a guy that, honestly, he probably signs the Hollywood Brown contract at the end of the year. He's probably the guy that signs the one-year prove-it deal in Kansas City to try to bounce back and have a 1,000-yard season, and then he tries to go on and get paid. T. Higgins played himself just a little bit. T. Higgins should have signed a contract at the end of year three. He had back-to-back years of having over 1,000 yards, and the Bengals were the best team, you know, this side of Kansas City. That's when T. Higgins should have gotten paid. Since then, I mean, if you add what he's done over the course of the last year and a half, T. Higgins has less than 900 yards and 7 touchdowns. T. Higgins is not worth a second-round pick anymore. All right, let's get to San Francisco. That's the Chiefs' next opponent. Hit it, Rob.
It's 5 o'clock, and your wife has tuna casserole ready for you at home. Might as well get caught up on the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City with C-Dot and Rob. This is The Hits, number one.
I guess my first hit to you, Rob, is a question. Do you think I am crazy in thinking that San Francisco is in danger of missing the playoffs? So San Francisco is 3-3. I imagine many of you have them losing on Sunday to Kansas City. So they will be 3-4. Let's say you have them winning next week on Sunday Night Football at home against Dallas, because the one team I know they beat up on regularly is Dallas. That puts them at 4-4 heading into their bye week. After their bye week, if you got them losing this week and winning next week, they're 500 going into their bye week. They have on the road against Tampa Bay, on the road against Green Bay, on the road against Buffalo. They play Chicago still, who has proven to be a pretty viable team. They play Detroit, and they go on the road and play Arizona. And you might laugh at that, but they've already lost a game to Arizona at home. So that is not a game that you can kind of throw away. I think San Francisco is in a little bit of trouble here, that you're kind of wondering, hey, when are they going to get going and kind of turn the corner? They just haven't done that yet. Every time you kind of think that, all right, hey, they got a little motion going, they then lose to Arizona, or they lose to Los Angeles, or they lose to one of those kind of teams. For a team that has as much talent as anybody in the league, they have yet to really find their rhythm and get going yet in the season. And it's early in the year, but you look at the NFC, and a lot of teams are playing great football right now. Washington has been very good this year. Every team in the NFC North has been really good so far this season. The NFC South is really competitive. A couple of those teams that are off to a good start are probably going to fade. But yeah, there's enough teams that are there that's kind of still hovering around. I'm a little worried about San Francisco and their playoff hopes.
Before I answer your question, you know the hits are brought to you by Baker University.
I'm a bad Baker. I apologize, Baker.
Where graduates earn higher salaries and jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. No,
that's where Sky Moore should be, Baker.
No, I don't think it's crazy, but I don't think they're going to miss. I understand what you're saying. The schedule game does not shine on them. They are not playing the best, the teams in the NFC. They have matchups with an NFC North juggernaut in the Lions. They're going to beat the Cowboys. That's just the nature of the beast. But there are other games on their schedule you go, huh, I could see that going poorly for them. So I don't think it's an outlandish thought. I don't think it's an outlandish take. But I think San Francisco eventually gets healthy enough. And when healthy, they are talented enough to be a playoff team. I don't know they're the one seed. They might not be the two seed.
I mean, that one seed conversation is probably gone for them when the NFC. The NFC is just too tough. I mean, at this point, I mean, they have already lost the tiebreaker to Minnesota, and they're technically 4 games back of Minnesota. Yeah, that one seed conversation is done
and
for San Francisco.
The Lions might be able to get another game up on them the same way, because they have the Lions this year. And don't they have the NFC North? So they have the Bears and Packers still in the schedule, which are all chasing that same one seed. So, yeah, I think the one seed conversation is dead, which preseason I think everyone had penciled Niners in for the one seed. But yeah, I still think they make the playoffs, because eventually McCaffrey comes back, right? That's the part of the conversation we really haven't had, because not relevant to the Chiefs game this weekend. But if McCaffrey comes back, they're a different team. And that's me saying that, certified running back hater. But if he's going to be out, maybe your take isn't that far off.
Yeah, no, I just was curious, just throwing that out there as just, you know, forward thinking, just kind of wondering if you think San Francisco is going to miss the playoffs. All right, what's hit number two?
Number two.
Well, Carrington, earlier today we were talking in the office with our boss, Steven Spector, and he said, have you guys noticed there's no buzz in town about this game? And we thought, Spec, go record your thought on why there's no buzz for this upcoming Chiefs and Niners game. Here's what the boss man had to say.
All right, guys, I would argue that this game doesn't have the same energy as it should in a rematch of two of the last five Super Bowls for one very simple reason. I think there's a little sports exhaustion coming off the Royals playoff run. Right, Tuesday and Wednesday against the Orioles, everybody's all in. Big emotional games, including two at Kauffman Stadium against the Yankees. I think this last 7-8 days following the Game 4 loss in the ALDS has been a good chance for Kansas City sports fans to take a deep breath and recharge. And I think you'll get that feeling back on Sunday, even Monday after the 49ers game. But that's why this doesn't feel like there's a lot of buzz in the city for it.
Carrington, do you agree the lack of the buzz surrounding this Chiefs and Niners game, or the buzz we believed would be surrounding this Chiefs and Niners game, is sucked out of the room because the Royals were so good last week that people have a little bit of a sports fatigue?
You know what? Fade the music down a little bit and let's talk about this until we get to the break. I don't think it's the Royals. I think that's a good theory. I disagree. This is what I think. I think the Chiefs fans have become NBA fans. Some of the knock about the NBA is that the regular season doesn't feel super important and the only thing that matters is the playoffs. Anytime we talk about these things, the number one thing is it doesn't matter. It's the regular season. Wake me up when the playoffs start. So I think that's some of it too. I also think over the course of any regular season for any team, there's only so many games that you think are going to take that attention. This just isn't one of them. Week one against the Ravens had that feeling that Spector is talking about. Week two against Cincinnati had that feeling. When they play Houston later on in the season, that's a home game. That game's going to have the feeling. They play Buffalo here coming up in a couple of weeks. They play Vegas next week. It's certainly going to be brought up about the puppets and the back and forth and the rivalry. I don't think this is one of the five most important games this season for the Chiefs. I also think when you get to the point that the Chiefs are in where the playoffs reach the importance that they have for Kansas City, it's hard for regular season games to have that juice that he's talking about if they don't have any impact on what the end goal is. It does not matter if the Chiefs lose on Sunday. It matters if the Chiefs lose to Buffalo. It matters if the Chiefs lose to Houston. You're talking about tiebreaker, where the home game's going to potentially be. I mean, you guys know the Chiefs are going to lose at some point over the course of the season. If I handed you their schedule right now and I tell you, hey, I've seen into the future, the Chiefs go 13-4 this season, I want you to circle the four losses that you're fine with. This is one of them that you would circle. They play an NFC team. Doesn't matter. This is not affecting the tiebreaker for Kansas City. In no way is San Francisco a roadblock to what they need. They need the one seed. They need a bye. They need rest. And I also think in the same vein of it being more like an NBA team and not like a traditional NFL team is, you know what we talk a lot about in the NBA? Trades and how that aligns you for the postseason. The biggest story this week is not San Francisco. The biggest story is what wide receiver are they going to get? I'll ask you this question. Let's say the Chiefs lose 31-10 on Sunday, right? Let's say they lose 31-10. And let's say Monday at 1 o'clock, they trade for DeAndre Hopkins. What's the bigger story? Is the bigger story they traded for the wide receiver or that they got smoked by San Francisco? Because if they got smoked by Buffalo, the Buffalo loss is still the bigger story to me. If they got smoked by Houston, that would still be the bigger story. If they lose to San Francisco, it just doesn't matter. I'm not saying you don't care if they win or lose. Obviously, you want them to lose, but them losing to NFC opponents, I just don't think registers anymore because it just doesn't matter.
That's an interesting scenario. I actually think if they got boat raced, the game would still be the lead in that scenario. Because when was the last time the Chiefs got boat raced? When was the last time the Chiefs got run off the field? I mean, yeah, they
Tennessee
lost
by a year and a half
ago. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's been a while. So I agree with your premise. If the Chiefs lose on Sunday and then on Monday morning they trade for Deontay Johnson, the show is not opening with, oh, they lost 27-20, a heartbreaker in the Bay Area. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Deontay Johnson. But I think, and maybe I'm getting the nitty-gritty of your analogy, a boat race, if the Niners put it on the Chiefs, that might be a little different just because you haven't seen teams put it on the Chiefs in, 24 months, basically.
Yeah, and again, I was just kind of making a point there.
I agree with you conceptually.
The result of Sunday is not super important to the Chiefs and what their goals are. If I ask you as a Chiefs fan, what are their biggest goals? I imagine them hosting the AFC Championship game, them being healthy at the end of the season. This just doesn't have that much of an effect, and they just have bigger games remaining the rest of the season. Like, if we go through the Chiefs schedule the rest of the way, so we already know the Baltimore game was bigger than this, the Cincinnati game was bigger than this. Down the stretch, they have on the road against Buffalo, that's bigger than this. They play Houston down the stretch, that's bigger than this. I would say that next week when they play Las Vegas, in the sense of the puppets and all that kind of stuff, you guys will be fired up to play the Raiders in a way. And you got to remember, the last time these two teams played each other, they ruined Christmas for you. Some of you took your kids out there on Christmas to see the Chiefs, and the last team to beat them was the Las Vegas Raiders. And the last time we saw the Raiders, they were making fun of your quarterback. You are going to be fired up to play the Raiders, and I think the Chiefs are going to be fired up as well. So, yeah, some of it's bye, some of it's the Raiders. I think a majority of it is this is a team in the NFC, and they are just not a roadblock to what you're doing anymore. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. If you want to chime in, you can do so, 913-586-7965. We're talking a little wide receiver. Also getting you ready for Sunday's matchup against the San Francisco 49ers. When I think back to the Super Bowl, there are so many memories that I have. Usher doing the halftime show was cool, and seeing Lil Jon and Ludacris and Usher on the stage performing, yeah, that was a lot of fun. Taylor Swift was up in the skybox, and it was an odd collection of characters. It was Ice Spice and Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. It was a real who's who of celebrity that were at the Super Bowl. But the thing that I will always remember the most is, what in the world was Kyle Shanahan doing when they made the decision to give the Chiefs the ball second in overtime? I have still never heard a good explanation why nothing has ever been explained to me has made sense on why that is the case. I don't understand it. We were talking about this earlier. Well, man, the defense, the Niners defense was tired. I don't care. There's one defensive stand left in the game. This is the difference of us winning and losing the Super Bowl. So I don't care what you need to do. You need to get some Gatorade. You need to get some oxygen. You need to figure something out. We have to get a stop in this scenario. It is impossible for you to win the game if you get the ball first in overtime. Now, I don't mean to quote Herm Edwards, but you play to win the game. Why would I put myself in a scenario in which at the end, it is impossible for me to be crowned the winning team? I don't want to hear about the third overtime. There is no third overtime that's guaranteed. There is just the first portion of overtime and the second portion of overtime that is available. There is no third that's guaranteed. This is not a trilogy. There could only be two movies in this series. Why would you A, choose to get the ball first, then kick the field goal, and now you have given Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs all the information they need, and you have given them, they have four downs to try to get a first down. Why would you give the Chiefs so much of an advantage in the second half of the season? Kyle Shanahan has had some heartbreaking defeats. He really has. His team was up 28-3 when he was the offensive coordinator for the Falcons, and they lost. His team was up 20-10 in the final 8 minutes of a Super Bowl and lost. But the one earlier this year is just, it's unforgivable. Maybe they lose, right? Maybe the Chiefs get the ball first. The Chiefs go down the field, and they score a touchdown, and San Francisco turnover on downs. I don't know. But I know if I'm Kyle Shanahan in that scenario, I know the Chiefs are not going to go for two in that scenario. So worst case scenario is Kansas City gets 7 points. All right, it is four down territory. We are going to go down the field and score, and we're going for two because we are not going to continue to prolong this game with Patrick Mahomes. The more chances we give him, it decreases our chances of winning. It is inexcusable what happened earlier this year. And again, maybe it didn't matter. Maybe it wouldn't have mattered. But you at least got to give yourself a chance to win the game. And it is amazing that in overtime of the Super Bowl, the head coach of one of the teams didn't give their team a chance to win.
I know that coaches don't act like this. They don't talk like this. They don't do this. It doesn't happen. Well, Kyle Shanahan's tell the truth. He just have come out to the media and said, I forgot the new rules. That is the only logic I understand. And it's not good logic, and I'm a Niner fan, and we had a Niner fan on the show earlier today, Joe Shasky, and I get why he's angry. It would frustrate me. Hey, I didn't know the rules, but there is no logical explanation to me that makes sense beyond the fact that Kyle Shanahan just forgot. It's very possible that Kyle Shanahan felt like, I've coached 18 weeks, and then I had multiple playoff games. I forgot the playoffs format was different in overtime than the regular season. I screwed us. My bad. That is the only logic I can understand, because if he come when he what he did was come out and talk about the second overtime, nonsensical. He talks about, you know, we got to protect our defense. Also goofy. Like, just, he's never going to wear it, but he needs to wear it. I didn't know, and I should have known, and that's on me. But there's no way someone who knew the rules picked that in the new format. College football, before they went to their goofy go for two overtime system, has been around most of our lives, and we've watched it. And every time I watch an overtime, you know what happens?
You always take the ball second.
We applaud the team that wins the toss and defers. Oh, defer, yeah. Kyle Shanahan's young enough to have watched college football. He's been around football his whole life. He should have known that rule. I just don't think he knew the change existed.
I'm being serious. Maybe you guys can think of somebody else. The only two people I've ever seen do it opposite of that outside of Kyle Shanahan were Marty Mornhinweg. Remember when he was the head coach of the Lions? That was back when it was sudden death. That was back the next score in overtime won the game, and he chose to play defense first because they wanted the win, and Deion Sanders did it earlier this year. Those are the only two coaches I can ever think of that made the decision first to go on offense. I can't think of anybody else that has done that. It is just such a puzzling decision. why you would ever do this. I have a very simple rule if I'm the NFL. This seems like everyone should follow this in the league, and maybe I'm giving up trade secrets. I would never do anything that Patrick Mahomes wants me to do. If I know Patrick Mahomes wants Xavier Worthy, I am not giving you the picks to select Xavier Worthy. If I know that Patrick Mahomes wants the ball second, then I'm not, no, I'm not doing anything in any capacity that would benefit Patrick Mahomes and would make Patrick Mahomes happy or feels like he has something over me. He is the last human being that I would ever give that amount of power to on a football field. It just doesn't make any sense. I think Kyle Shanahan is exceptional. I think he is an incredible coach. I really, really do. That's just one of the absolute worst decisions that I can think of. Rob, we will talk about this for less than 1 minute. Who do you have winning Thursday Night Football today?
Broncos. They're the healthier of two bad teams.
Yeah, I just feel like that's the right pick today. Early in the week, I was on the Saints side, but then when I started hearing, Chris Olave's not playing, mm-hmm. Shaheed's not playing, yep. I had to switch. No, I can't do it.
I mean, you think the Chiefs have a ragtag bunch of wide receivers. The Saints are in awe of the names the Chiefs have. They don't have anyone to catch football today.
No, they don't have anybody.
Someone called a Tipton as wide receiver one.
I do actually. I do have the over for Mace Tipton. I mean, somebody's got to catch passes. I don't think that he's throwing for a lot of yards, Spencer Rattler. He's going to throw for some. I think that Mace Tipton is going to catch some of those passes today. Everybody's really high on Juwan Johnson. I just normally try to fade the trendy guys. Who's this guy that everybody likes? Vele, he plays for the Broncos. What's his name? I never heard of this guy until earlier this week.
Yeah, was it Vanilev?
Yeah, him. Yeah, everybody's high on him for today. I know. I'm out. I just stayed away from it. I don't like trendy picks when it comes to these kind of player props. Everybody's on the same side? No, that's the wrong side to be on. I don't want anything to do with that side today. I actually would probably be fading Alvin Kamara today. His number's just so big, and if you're the Broncos, you got to know all your attention is to stopping that one individual. I don't think there's anybody else on that team that can beat you right now. There's just not a lot of firepower on that New Orleans Saints team. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, back in on The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. We got Thursday Night Football coming up. We got a baseball playoff game that is currently going on right now. Rob, who is winning the baseball game? I don't have the television on in here. The Guardians actually just pulled it up on ESPN. The Guardians are up 2-1 right now. It is the end of the fifth inning. The Guardians, goes without saying, they really need this one. They are down 0-2 in the series. They are back home. You lose today, you are done for the season. This Guardians team, they don't score enough to win four straight games against any team right now, certainly not against the Yankees. So the Guardians want to get back in this series. They should win today as they have a 2-1 lead right now against the Yankees. I actually have been watching the playoffs. I have enjoyed the baseball playoffs so far. It's been a lot of fun. I don't know who the World Series is going to be. I actually probably would pick the Yankees to win the World Series. I think they've been the best team out of the four teams that are remaining. But I've enjoyed the baseball playoffs. I've been really into it.
I've enjoyed it as well, but I'm worried we're going to get Yankees and Dodgers. And Yankees and Dodgers is just, I don't want that. I don't want Yankees-Dodgers. I don't want the Dodgers that spent $700 million this offseason to make the World Series. And the Yankees are probably top five in spending this offseason as well. And will be top one next year with Juan Soto. I don't want that for the sport.
Well, I'm just telling you.
I mean, it's coming. I know it's coming.
At this point, I would say you don't have a lot of options. You either have the Yankees and the Mets in the Subway Series, or you have the Yankees and the Dodgers playing in the World Series. I do not think the Guardians are going to win that series. So I would just prepare to watch the Yankees in the World Series.
It's wild that the Mets are the plucky little underdog, which
it does feel like that.
It's
huh?
Like that. Nothing about the Mets and how they spin feels plucky or underdogish. They have Lindor, but you know that's the team that's left. We're all cheering for.
I have not got a chance to ask you this. Are you watching the Penguin? It seems like your kind of show. You're watching the Penguin. I'm going to wait for the Penguin. Please don't spoil it on the text line. I know.
It's only had like 3 episodes.
I shouldn't even have said anything. You know, I normally try not to say it. If I'm watching something in the middle, I know I can't tell you guys because someone will purposely try to ruin it on the text line. I just finished Mr. McMahon a couple days ago on Netflix. If you have any interest in wrestling, it is fantastic. I really, really enjoyed it. I didn't like the last episode as much just because... I mean, last episode is just not fun. It's really the decline of the business, and it's a lot of family inner workings of how eventually Vince got kicked out of being the head of WWE. But, I mean, the first 5 episodes, I really, really enjoyed. I thought it was great. So if you got any interest in wrestling or just want to know how someone took a very small thing and made it a very big thing, I would highly encourage you to watch the Mr. McMahon documentary.
It's been on my... in my queue for a while. I didn't dislike wrestling, but I wasn't big enough to like care about the story.
Yeah, you're probably not gonna love it then. It's a lot of this was a big moment in wrestling history that helped it get to where it is now. We're gonna deep dive into it for the next, you know, 15 minutes. It's a lot of that.
I was interested in it because he didn't have any creative control. Like a lot of those documentaries, especially the Netflix ones, they have creative control. You want to know why the Florida one was so terrible? Urban Meyer and co. had creative control. They were going to make it look great for them. That McMahon had none of that. So that was always interesting to me. So, but I haven't gotten to it quite yet.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the Mr. McMahon documentary does a really good job of everybody that needs to be in it is in it. Like, if you watched wrestling, I mean, Shawn Michaels is in it, The Undertaker is in it, Triple H is in it, The Rock is in it, Kurt Angle. Like, if you enjoyed wrestling over the course of the last 20 years, every wrestler that was super important is in this documentary, and that's normally, like, if you're going to tell a story, it has to feel complete. One of the reasons that The Last Dance is so good is almost every person who was instrumental in Jordan's career is in it. That's a big reason of why it works, is everybody is telling their version of this story, and I think that happens here in this one. Do you think Penguin is living up to the hype? Do you think it's worth it?
It's been good so far. If you enjoyed Robert Pattinson's Batman, you'll enjoy Penguin. There's a little bit of DC callback, but at its core, it's a mob show, which is
that's my kind of show.
Yeah, and you know, Colin Farrell's very, very good. I mean, he doesn't look like Colin Farrell, but he's very, very good in it. So yeah, I've enjoyed. I mean, it's not done. I've enjoyed it thus far.
How many episodes are they doing? 8 or 10?
I think it's 8.
Okay, so it's about halfway done.
Three or four in. Yeah. Okay.
What's the next show after this? I don't know what they're. I mean, this is a good run going from House of the Dragon to then going right into the Penguin. They've had a good Sunday. You know, HBO stays loaded with the show.
I'm trying to think what the little commercial is at the beginning of Penguin that they're promoting. They got some comedy coming out called The Franchise. It's about
I've seen the previews for that, but I haven't.
I'm just trying to think of the preview. I don't know what they got coming next.
Yeah, I don't know. The next thing I plan on watching is that Smile 2. I know you're not really a scare movie individual.
I hear Trap was good, though.
I haven't seen it.
The Josh Hartnett movie? I heard good things about Trap.
Oh, yeah, M. Night Shyamalan. He's fooled me too many times. I'm not going to the movie theater to watch that, but I watch it at home. I'll watch it at the crib.
I think it's about to play on Fire Stick Records, so.
Oh, it's coming out on Fire Stick Records. Okay, yeah, if it's on Fire Stick Records, I'm down. I'll watch just about anything on Fire Stick Records, but if I got to pay to go to the theater, I don't know. M. Night Shyamalan has pulled the wool over my eyes way too many times for me to be involved in any of his shenanigans. All right, we had a lot of fun today. Tomorrow's show is going to be busy as well. We hope you are back. Check out the podcast page if you missed anything. Danny was on the show earlier today. My guy Gabe DeArmond was on the show. We had a very fun San Francisco guest. We have more San Francisco guests tomorrow. So keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive, 96.5 The Fan. Take care of yourself.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.